वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः.
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 15 एंटाइटल्ड डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ द मिस्टिक योगा परफेक्शंस टेक्स्ट नंबर 25.
विहरिष्यन् सुरा क्रीडे मत्स्थं सत्त्वं विभावयेत् विमानेनोपतिष्ठन्ति सत्त्ववृत्तिसुरस्त्रियः. विहरिष्यन् सुरा क्रीडे मत्स्थं सत्त्वं विभावयेत् विमानेनोपतिष्ठन्ति सत्त्ववृत्तिसुरस्त्रियः. विहरिष्यन् सुरा क्रीडे मत्स्थं सत्त्वं विभावयेत् विमानेनोपतिष्ठन्ति सत्त्ववृत्तिसुरस्त्रियः. विहरिष्यन् सुरा क्रीडे विमानेनोपतिष्ठन्ति
ताजीस.
विहरिष्यन् सुरा क्रीडे मत्स्थं सत्त्वं विभावयेत् विमानेनोपतिष्ठन्ति
वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन. Viharishyan, desiring to enjoy, Sura of the demigods, Akride, in the pleasure gardens, Mat, in me, Stam, situated, Sattvam, the mode of goodness, Vibhavayet, one should meditate on, Vimanena, by airplane, Upatishtanti, they arrive, Sattva, in the mode of goodness, Vritti, appearing, Sura, of the demigods, Kshatriya, the women. Translation: the yogi who desires to enjoy in the pleasure gardens of the demigods should meditate on the purified mode of goodness, which is situated within me, and then the heavenly women generated from the mode of goodness will approach him in airplanes. I'll read the next verse also, because there is no purport to this verse. Yata sankalpayet buddhya yadava matparappuman mayi satye mano yunjans tata tat samupashnute. Translation purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. A yogi who has faith in me, absorbing his mind in me and knowing that my purpose is always fulfilled, will always achieve his purpose by the very means he has determined to follow. Purport: in this verse, the word yada indicates that by the mystic power called yata sankalpa samsiddhi, one will achieve one's objective even if one pursues it at an inauspicious time. Lord Krishna is called Satya Sankalpa, or he whose desire, intention, purpose or resolve always comes to pass. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions that one should determine to revive one's lost relationship with the Supreme Lord, Krishna, through the infallible means of devotional service, which can be executed at any time or in any place. There are many books giving proper guidance for achieving Lord Krishna, and the following are mentioned: Srila Jiva Goswami's Sankalpa Kalpa Vriksha, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraja Goswami's Sri Govinda Leelamrita, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's Sri Krishna Bhavanamrita and Sankalpa Kalpa Druma, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sri Gauranga Smarana Mangala. In the modern age, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada has given us over 60 large volumes of transcendental literature, which can fix us firmly on the path back home, back to Godhead. Our sankalpa or determination should be practical and not useless. We should resolve to make a permanent solution to the problems of life by going back home, back to Godhead. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadat Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamcha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಸಂಡೇ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್. ಸೊ ಟುಡೇ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್ 11th ಕ್ಯಾಂಟು. ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಫ್ಯೂ ವೀಕ್ಸ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬಿನ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರಿಪ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಮಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಸಿದ್ಧೀಸ್ ಬೈ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಟು ಉದ್ಧವ. ಉದ್ಧವ ಆಸ್ಕ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಬಿಗಿನಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಟು ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ ಮೀ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಮಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಸಿದ್ಧೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ ಟು ಮೀ ದ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಬೈ ವಿಚ್ ಒನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಅಟೈನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಸಿದ್ಧೀಸ್. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಸ್ 8 ಪ್ರೈಮರಿ ಮಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಸಿದ್ಧೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ 10 ಸೆಕೆಂಡರಿ ಮಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಸಿದ್ಧೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಬಿಯಾಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ 8 ಪ್ರೈಮರಿ ಅಂಡ್ 10 ಸೆಕೆಂಡರಿ ಮಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಸಿದ್ಧೀಸ್ ಈ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಸ್ 5 ಇನ್ಫೀರಿಯರ್ ಮಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಸಿದ್ಧೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಈ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಸ್ ಎ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಅಟೈನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಸಿದ್ಧೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ಕನ್ಕ್ಲೂಡ್ಸ್ ಅಟ್ ದ ಎಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ದಟ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಸಿದ್ಧೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಅನ್ ಅಬ್ಸ್ಟಕಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ಅ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಹೂ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ವಾಂಟ್ಸ್ ಟು ಪ್ರೋಗ್ರೆಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪಾತ್ ಆಫ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಯೋಗ. ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ವೈಸ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ದೇ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಅಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಸಿದ್ಧೀಸ್. ದಿ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟಿಷನರ್ ಆಫ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಯೋಗ ಹಿ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ರಿಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಸಿದ್ಧೀಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದೇ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಬಿ ಅನ್ ಅಬ್ಸ್ಟಕಲ್. ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಅವರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕನ್ಕ್ಲೂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್. ಸೊ ಐ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ ಇನ್ ಟುಡೇಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ 2 ಆಫ್ ದ ಸೆಕೆಂಡರಿ ಮಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಸಿದ್ಧೀಸ್. ಒನ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಅಸ್ ದೇವ ಕ್ರೀಡಾ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ತಿ. ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಹೌ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಗೋ ಟು ದ ಗಾರ್ಡನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಹೆವನ್ಲಿ ಪ್ಲಾನೆಟ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹೌ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಎಂಜಾಯ್ ದ ಫೆಸಿಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಓವರ್ ದರ್. ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಮಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಸಿದ್ಧಿ. ಅಂಡ್ ಅನದರ್ ಮಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಸಿದ್ಧಿ ಇಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಅಸ್ ಸತ್ಯ ಸಂಕಲ್ಪ. ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಇಸ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಹೌ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಒಬ್ಟೈನ್ ದಟ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇನ್ ರಿಗಾರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಟು ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಮಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಸಿದ್ಧೀಸ್ ದ ವೇ ಟು ಒಬ್ಟೈನ್ ದ ಮಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಸಿದ್ಧೀಸ್ ಹಿ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಹೌ ವೆನ್ ಅ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟ್ಸ್ ಆನ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಒಬ್ಟೈನ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಮಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಸಿದ್ಧೀಸ್. ಫಾರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಅನಿಮಾ ಸಿದ್ಧಿ ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹೂ ರೆಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ದ ತನ್ಮಾತ್ರಸ್ ದ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್. ಇನ್ ಆರ್ಡರ್ ಟು ಗೆಟ್ ಮಹಿಮಾ ಸಿದ್ಧಿ ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟ್ ಆನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ರೆಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಮಹತ್ತತ್ವ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಸಮ್ ಟೋಟಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಎಲಿಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್. ಇನ್ ಆರ್ಡರ್ ಟು ಒಬ್ಟೈನ್ ದ ಲಗಿಮಾ ಸಿದ್ಧಿ ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟ್ ಆನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಆಸ್ ದಿ ಆಟಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಮ್ಯಾಟರ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ಆರ್ಡರ್ ಟು ಒಬ್ಟೈನ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಿ ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟ್ ಆನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ರೆಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ದ ಫಾಲ್ಸಿಗೋ ಇನ್ ಸತ್ವಗುಣ. ಸೊ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಆರ್ಡರ್ ಟು ಒಬ್ಟೈನ್ ದ ಈಶಿತಾ ಸಿದ್ಧಿ ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟ್ ಆನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಆಸ್ ದಿ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟರ್ನಲ್ ಎನರ್ಜಿ ವಿಚ್ ಕನ್ಸಿಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ 3 ಮೋಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ನೇಚರ್. ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ಅ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರಿಪ್ಷನ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ರೂಪ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಇನ್ ದ ಭಕ್ತಿ ರಸಾಮೃತ ಸಿಂಧು ಹಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಸ್ 64 ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಔಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದಟ್ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟಿ ಹಿ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ಸ್ ದ 55th ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟಿ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಸರ್ವ ಸಿದ್ಧಿ ನಿಷೇವಿತ. ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಹಿ ಹೂ ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಮಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಪವರ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಸರ್ವ ಸಿದ್ಧಿ ನಿಷೇವಿತ ಆರ್ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ served by all the mystic siddhis. This is one of the quality of Krishna. So naturally because all the mystic siddhis are serving Krishna, therefore Krishna explains that in order to obtain the different mystic siddhis one should meditate on Krishna represent in the different representations of the material world and then one can get the different mystic siddhis. Rupa Goswami says that the 8 great mystic siddhis, the primary mystic siddhis and the 10 secondary mystic siddhis, one after other, they do not have the opportunity to enter Krishna's palace. That means all these mystic siddhis are waiting to serve Krishna, but they don't get the opportunity to actually render Krishna. So this shows that all the mystic siddhis are under the control of Krishna. There's one purport in the fourth canto. When the four Kumaras, when they come to meet the, when they come to the assembly of Prithu Maharaj, so it's a beautiful verse which says that, Tamsu Siddheshwaran Raja Vyomno Avataratur Chisha Lokan Apapan Kurvanan Sanugo Cheshta Lakshinan. So when the four Kumaras came, the four Kumaras are described as Siddheshwaran, the masters of mystic power. So when they came to the assembly of Prithu Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj and his associates, they immediately stood up. In fact, they recognized the four Kumaras as the great devotees, and they immediately stood up. It is described that just like a conditioned soul would be spontaneously attracted towards the sense objects, similarly, Prithu Maharaj was spontaneously attracted towards the four Kumaras. Because birds of a feather flock together. Because he himself is a great devotee of the Lord. So when he saw like great devotees like the four Kumaras, immediately he actually welcomed them. In that purport, Prabhupada explains, the four Kumaras are called as Siddheshwaran. They were masters of mystic power. So they could travel from one planet to another planet. For us, actually, all these mystic siddhis are like a theoretical information. For the people in the Siddha Loka, so these mystic siddhis are like a handkerchief for them, actually. Or like any ordinary mobile which everyone has now. So for them, it is like that, actually. So the people in the Siddha Loka, they could travel from one place to another place even without airplanes. But Prabhupada explains that, but the special power of the four Kumaras is not their ability to travel from one place to another place or different mystic siddhis. The special power of the four Kumaras is that whichever place they would visit, that place would become sinless. Or in other words, the special power of the four Kumaras is that they had the power to purify anybody who comes in contact with them. They had the power to purify any place, however contaminated it may be. In other words, what Yudhishthira Maharaj told Vidur, Bhavadvida Bhagavata Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibhu Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasthena Gadabrata. Yudhishthira Maharaj said that great souls like you are actually personifications of holy place. In fact, whichever place you go, you transform that place into a holy place. And you have the power to purify even the holy places of pilgrimage. Once somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, there are many Swamis who actually perform different miracles. They perform the miracles of some ashes or bringing some fruit from some other country. What miracle you can perform? So he said, the miracle which I have performed, I have turned the hippies into happies. That means this miracle of actually sowing the seed of Bhakti Lata Bija, and regardless of the person's past background, making that person into a Vaishnava, that miracle, this power is much, much greater than any of these mystic siddhis. So that is why we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in various places we find one thing, we find in the different prayers of the different devotees, they mention that what they don't want, in that they mention that we don't want the mystic siddhis. One prayer we find in the 80s, third chapter of the 10th canto, when the different queens of Krishna, they are telling to Draupadi that how they got married with Krishna. Then after describing how they got married to Krishna and then they express their desire. Each of the queens, they say that we just want to ultimately be the maid servant of Krishna. Like that Rukmini, Jambavati, Satyabhama, they mention. And finally, the queens representing the 16,100 queens, which Krishna married after killing Narakasur. So one of the queen called as, I think Rohini, was representing all these 16,100 queens. Like, they were offering their prayer. In that prayer, they say that, Na vayam sadvi samrajyam, swarajyam baujyam apyuta, vairajyam parameshtyam cha anantyam va hare padam. We don't desire any sovereignty over the earthly planet. We don't desire sovereignty over the heavenly planets. And we don't desire the mystic siddhis. And we don't desire liberation. And we don't desire even the post of Brahma. This is not there in just one particular prayer. Many prayers. Vritrasur, he offers in his prayer. He says that, Nanaka prishnam, nacha parameshtyam, na sarvabhaumam, na rasadipatyam, na yoga siddhir, apunar bhavamva, samanjasatva, virahaya kankshe. He is addressing the Lord as the source of all opportunities. He is saying that, O source of all opportunities, I know that by your mercy one can obtain anything, but still I don't desire sovereignty over the earthly planets or heavenly planets. I don't desire even the position of being the king of Dhruvaloka. I don't desire liberation and Nayoga Siddhir. I don't desire the mystic Siddhis. So especially these prayers are significant because Krishna is the source of all opportunities, but still they say that we don't desire this, we don't desire that. So this is one of the quality of a Veera Bhakta, which Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Says that one of the secondary rasas is called as Virya Rasa. Virya Rasa, that means where a devotee gives pleasure to Krishna in the mood of a courage, or a Krishna experiences the rasa of chivalry. But this Virya Rasa is not only in terms of Krishna. Sometimes he wants to relish the rasa of chivalry. So therefore, in order to fulfill the desire of Krishna, sometimes devotees like Jay and Vijay, they assume the position of some demons and they want to give a fight to Krishna and give pleasure to Krishna like that. Or sometimes cowherd boys would fight with Krishna. But this is one type of actually Virya Rasa, which is called as Yuddha Vira, where a devotee fights with Krishna and gives pleasure to Krishna. But another type of Virya Rasa is called as Dana Vira, where a devotee is in the position of a devotee may be either in the position of being a giver of charity, or he may be in the position of a receiver of charity. Because for example, Bali Maharaj was in the position of a giver of charity, and the recipient was actually Vishnu himself. And Bali Maharaj exhibited heroism in actually giving charity, in actually giving everything to Krishna. Because this also requires heroism, because one kind of heroism is that, like, where a person goes to, fight with the enemies, when a soldier is fighting in a border. So there is so much of uncertainty that one can die anytime. But still a person exhibits that heroism, he exhibits that courage. Although there is so much of insecurity to the very life, a person actually exhibits that courage. So similarly, in giving charity also it requires courage, because generally our possessions and wealth is a source of security for us. And when a person is willing to sacrifice that security beyond one's comfort zone, that requires actually courage. And especially Bali Maharaj, he went to the highest extent that he sacrificed all his possessions to Vishnu. In that way, he exhibited heroism. And another example where a devotee is in the position of a recipient of charity is actually personalities like Dhruva Maharaj, Vritrasur, where the Lord is actually there right in front of him and he can offer anything, but still the devotee says that, I don't desire this, I don't desire anything material. So even to make that statement, it requires actually heroic purity. It requires heroism. So that is why the significance that Vritrasura is addressing the Lord as Samanjasa. So sometimes one may say, like Dhruva Maharaj and Vritrasura, they were great Kshatriyas. One of the quality of a Kshatriya is that he never begs charity from others. Kshatriya's psychophysical nature, he can never beg charity from others. In fact, one place in 7th canto, Narada Muni says that even during emergency, sometimes a person may assume somebody else's role in the Varnashram principle. But even during emergency, a Kshatriya may assume the position of a Brahmana like that. But even during emergency, a Kshatriya should never beg charity from others, like that he mentioned. So because it's not a psychophysical nature, but here when Dhruva Maharaj is saying that I don't want this, or Vritrasura when he's saying that I don't want these things, so this statement is not coming from a psychophysical nature as a Kshatriya, because they also exhibited, Vritrasura exhibited such heroism in fighting with Indra, that till the last moment, he never looked back. Even when his arms and legs were cut off, he actually was fighting with Indra. He exhibited that Kshatriya nature. But when he is making this statement, I don't desire yoga siddhis, I don't desire being the king of the Dhruva Loka, this is coming from his actually deep devotional mood, where the mood of actually pure devotion. So like that, various prayers in the Bhagavatam, the devotees say that, where Krishna himself talks about his devotee in the Uddhava Gita, there also he says that my devotee does not desire the yoga siddhis, my devotee does not desire being the post of Brahma, etc. Nagapatnis in the 10th canto, when they offer praise to Krishna, they also mention, we don't desire these things, we don't desire yoga siddhis. So that is why, why they don't desire is that, because these mystic siddhis are an obstacle in the path of bhakti. They're an obstacle in the path of bhakti because the mystic siddhis, they give you a sense that you are the controller. But the path of bhakti is that, we submit ourselves to be in the hands of Krishna, to be controlled by Krishna. But the mystic siddhis, they have the exact opposite effect. They can give you the sense that you are the controller and you are the enjoyer. So therefore the devotees actually do not desire mystic siddhis. And sometimes we may wonder that, okay, anyway, I don't have any desire for this anima, lagima siddhi, prakamyata. That means am I free from the desire? But actually, the desire for controllership is manifest in many different ways. That somebody may desire a particular post or a particular particular position in which a person can control different resources or people. Or somebody may think that, oh, everybody should accept my opinion. Sometimes we put forward certain opinion, and then when others don't accept our opinion, we get disturbed. So that is because we have a desire for controllership. Or somebody may accept a particular position, somebody may want to control others. So in that sense, we find that many things which are mentioned in the scriptures, like desire for mystic siddhis, or desire for heavenly pleasure, or the desire for liberation. So all these things, they are all manifest, all these are different diseases which a conditioned soul goes through, and they are manifest maybe in different packages, but they are actually different diseases. Like for example, say Mayavad, where a person considers the Supreme Lord to be an ordinary person or makes an ordinary person as God. But Mayavad may be manifest in the form of when a devotee desires to become another devotee. When a devotee desires to become an associate of Krishna, when a devotee desires to become Yashoda or Nanda Maharaj or Vasudev Datta or Prahlad, so that is a desire, that is actually Mayavad tendency, because you can never become another devotee. You can only try to follow in the footsteps of the other devotee. Or the for example, Sahajiyavad. Sahajiyavad means Sahajiyas. We may think Sahajiyas means somebody, people who were present, say, 500 years back. We may find in sometimes in the holy places. But there is a tendency behind the Sahajiyavad. Sahajiyas tendency is that a person wants salary without work. That means one doesn't want to perform the hard work of sadhana bhakti, but one wants to experience the fruit of sadhana bhakti. So that tendency is present in Sahajiyavad. That tendency may be manifest in anybody. The desire for liberation, Rupa Goswami describes one chapter how devotional service surpasses liberation. One may say, I don't have the desire for liberation. No, but the desire for liberation is manifest in other form. We want certain relief from certain miseries. So in that sense, all these desires, they can be manifest in different packages. So the desire for mystic siddhis, we can see it is manifest in the form of the desire for certain control. Desire for controllership in one, desire for mystic power. And another thing, like Prabhupada explains in Nectar of Devotion, when he describes the characteristics of bhakti, one of the characteristics of bhakti is Shubhada. So where he explains that bhakti is all auspicious because the happiness from bhakti is superior to all other happiness. In that regard, he explains that the happiness from bhakti is superior to the happiness obtained from mystic siddhis, happiness from liberation, happiness from material sense gratification. So there he explains that the different yoga siddhis, they are nothing but different materialistic perfections. And we find that the materialistic scientists, they try for the same perfection. So one of the difference, like in the Srimad Bhagavatam or the scriptures, what we find is that Krishna is explaining how to get this mystic siddhis by meditating on him. So somebody meditates on Krishna and gets different mystic siddhis. Or somebody may worship a particular different demons, they may worship different demigods, and then they get different mystic siddhis. But the materialistic scientists, without worshipping some higher authority, they try to get different, inferior semblance of those mystic siddhis in the form of certain advanced technology, etc. So in the Shastra, we find that different materialistic people, by accepting a higher authority, by worshipping that higher authority, by performing some tapasya, they get some mystic siddhis. But in the modern time, the materialistic person, without worshipping a higher authority, some tapasya may be involved, some tapasya in the sense of different research and R&D, etc. By performing some tapasya and without submitting to some higher authority, they try to get different materialistic perfection, which may not be the same mystic siddhis which are in the scriptures, but they are inferior versions of that. So therefore, Prabhupada says that there is no difference between mystic siddhi and materialistic perfection. materialistic perfection. Materialistic perfection, by that Prabhupada means what the scientists are endeavoring to achieve. It means basically the different technology, so many different technologies are there, different gadgets, technology, etc. That's also a mystic siddhi. So, that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the advancement of material knowledge renders a person more foolish because it causes a person to forget one's real identity. A person becomes enamored by the external glitter of that advancement of materialistic knowledge and forgets one's real identity. So, the same thing is explained in this, because by this mystic siddhis one can forget one's real goal. So, yes, talking about, say, because materialistic perfection means technological advancement, and how we can see some comparison, what are the disadvantages of technology, which is nothing but disadvantage of the mystic siddhis in the current time. For example, technology, with the help of technology, it can bring distant people closer. This is also one of the, I think, secondary mystic siddhis, which is called as Dura Shravana. Hearing what happens in a distant place, that is one of the mystic siddhi. Because when Suta Goswami was narrating Srimad Bhagavatam, 88,000 sages were present. When you wonder how they actually heard Srimad Bhagavatam, there was no sound system, etc. So they heard Srimad Bhagavatam with this mystic siddhi is called as Dura Shravana. The same thing technology does. Technology brings distant people closer, but it can create a distance between close people also. I saw news that somebody divorced some wife or husband because of certain WhatsApp quarrel, something. So it can bring distance between close people also. And generally, technology makes a person passionate and self-absorbed, and it gives a sense of controllership, and it also makes a person impatient. So, mystic siddhis also have the same, this one, because it gives a sense of controllership. You can obtain anything from anywhere. And another thing, like with technology, we can easily communicate. There are like 7-star hotels. In 7-star hotels are those hotels, you can get any object from any part of the world. You can get some apple from New Zealand, or can get some, anything may be available, like that somebody was sharing. So, because of technology, anything can be available. We can easily communicate, and communication creates opportunities. Opportunities means what? It makes the sense objects easily available. Like for example, the mystic siddhi which we are reading today, it is called as Deva Krida Prapti. That means that mystic siddhi by which you can actually have access to the gardens in the heavenly planets. And you can have the association of the damsels of the heavenly planets. And the different facilities over there. So, the same way, the different modern technologies, by that we can have access to, like, we can get anything just by, with a mobile phone, we can order anything, it can just come to your house, and you can see anything just at the tip of, just by clicking something. In the sense, it creates so much of opportunities make the sense objects easily available. So that means there are more chances of actually falling from the right path. So, and generally, like for example, when you talk about technology, when you see internet, especially modern man or a conditioned soul can very easily relate with the internet. Sometimes we can spend hours with the internet, but we may not be able to spend even half an hour with the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because whichever the mind can relate with, we spend hours. Because internet is designed in such a way that you go from one link to another link and that link to another link, which the mind can easily relate with. Because mind generally has a tendency of jumping from one thought to another thought, another thought to another thought. And internet is also designed like that. So the mind, because it can easily relate with, one can spend hours. But the scriptures, we may find it very difficult to relate in the conditioned stage. So we find it, even though scriptures may be available in the tip of in the mobile phone, we may not take out time to read it. So therefore, we find that the technologies in the current times is nothing but the same mistakes with these. But of course, we know that technology is required for actually outreach and sharing Krishna consciousness with others. Sometimes more than the physical temple, whether your temple has a website, that becomes more important than the physical temple actually. So technology has become inevitable. But technology may be needed for teaching Krishna consciousness, but one should remember that technology is not needed for one's personal survival. It's not needed for one's personal practice of bhakti. And the technology should not become all-pervading in our life. Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj gave one class. He mentioned, we should use technology, which is a mystic siddhi, in the service of Krishna. But we should use technology one should not use technology becoming fascinated by the technology. Rather, we should become fascinated by Krishna, and then for Krishna's service we should use the technology. So one purport Prabhupada says that technology is meant for the Shudras and scriptures are meant for the Brahmanas. And another attitude of, we see the technology, of course, in the scriptures we find only Anima Siddhi, Lagima Siddhi, 8 Siddhis are mentioned. But in the modern world, the technology also, it keeps on changing actually. Different versions of the same technology come. Almost every day we see that different mobile phones, this mobile phone is coming, different mobile phones keep coming with different features actually. So, one of the thing actually, how it actually affects people is that because newer and newer versions of the same technology come and you want to update yourself, you want to get a newer gadget, you want to get a newer thing. And this tendency, if you are not careful, this tendency will also pervade in other aspects of our life, in the sense that we may seek newer relationship. In a particular relationship, when we see the shortcomings of a particular person, okay, let me update the relationship. Okay, let me leave this person, let me go to some other person. So the same attitude of what we see in the technology, of updating the different technology and gadgets, it may actually pervade other aspects of life in the relationships. So in that way, we find that there is some similarity between the materialistic perfection in the form of technological advancement and the mystic siddhis. And let us take some examples from the Srimad Bhagavatam in regards to how different personalities responded in regards to the mystic siddhis. So one example we'll take from the example of Krishna himself at the end of the 11th canto. When Krishna was winding up his pastimes, he saw that different demigods, the different devatas actually came to know that Krishna is going back to the spiritual world. So all the devatas approached Krishna. So at that time, when Krishna saw the different devatas, so Krishna closed his eyes and fixed his mind within himself. So why did he do that? So by that, Krishna was teaching, because all these devatas represent the different mystic expansions of Krishna. All these devatas represent different mystic opulences and expansions of Krishna. And when he was disappearing, when he was winding up his pastimes in this world, he saw the different demigods were coming, approaching him, because the demigods, they wanted to request Krishna, while going back to the spiritual world, please pay a visit to our house in Swargaloka, or in Satyaloka, or in Chandraloka. Like that, they wanted to make a request to Krishna. But Krishna wanted to avoid all these social obligations when he was disappearing from this world. In one verse in the seventh canto, when Narada Muni talks about the retired life or the Vanaprastha ashram, he says that in the Vanaprastha ashram, one should not get involved oneself in different social functions, social obligations. So Krishna wanted to actually avoid these things. And another thing which Jiva Goswami mentions is that because Krishna wanted to teach the different yogis that when a yogi at the time of leaving his body, he should not become attached to the different mystic siddhis. He should not become attached to the mystic siddhis. He wanted to teach the yogis. So therefore he closed his eyes because all these demigods were different mystic expansions of Krishna. So that is one thing. And then another example we find in the example of Rishabhadev. This example comes in the fifth canto, where Parishit Maharaj is asking that for those people who are completely pure in heart, knowledge is attained by the practice of Bhakti Yoga, and all their attachment to the fruitive activity is completely burned to ashes. And you told that Rishabhadev was such a pure person, in fact, he had such a great purity that the instructions which Rishabhadev spoke, they were meant for the Paramahamsa sannyasis. They were meant for the Paramahamsa sannyasis, that means you can imagine what level of purity he must have had. But later it was described that all the mystic siddhis approached him, but Rishabhadev did not accept those mystic siddhis. So Parishit Maharaj is asking that for such a person who is at the caliber of Rishabhadev, who is so pure, like for him, that these mystic siddhis will not cause any distress. So why did Rishabhadev neglect these mystic siddhis? So Shukadev Goswami gives a very important answer to that. Shukadev Goswami says that whatever you have said is correct. The mystic siddhis would not cause distress to a very pure person. But in this world, the intelligent people do not put their faith in their unsteady mind, which is like a degraded, cunning person. The mind is so cunning person, it can completely cheat a person. Mind can gain the trust of a person by posing to the person that actually, I have become pure. After gaining the trust of the person, the mind will completely cheat the person and take the person in the wrong direction. So just like so sometimes a low-born servant or low-born person, he may exhibit some, he may show good character, he may show actually dharmic behavior, and then he gains the trust of the master, and then the right time he actually steals the treasury. We find many news like sometimes the different maybe servants or maid servants, they steal the different things. So Shukadev Goswami says, that's why one verse in the first canto, Prabhupada writes in the purport that Shukadev Goswami was a liberated soul, and thus he always remained alert not to be trapped by the illusory energy. So one may wonder, if somebody is liberated, why should he? That means he is liberated from the three modes. If he is liberated from the three modes, then such a person should be carefree. But he is explained that although he is liberated, but he remained alert not to be trapped by the illusory energy. Means one of the sign of a liberated person is that he never becomes overconfident. He never trusts his mind. The more a person climbs on the mountain of purity, the more a person will be careful. Because one more a person climbs above, when you fall, the impact will be much greater. So therefore, that we find that Shukadeva Goswami is saying that an intelligent person will never trust his mind. It is therefore said that one should never make friends with the unsteady mind. And he further says, the mind of a yogi who trusts the mind gives the opportunity to lust and the other followers like anger. Just like suppose if a husband trusts his wife who is having a low character, who is having some other paramour. Despite knowing that fact, suppose if the husband trusts that wife, then it will give opportunity to her paramour to come and then even kill him. So similarly, a yogi who actually trusts his unsteady mind, and it will give actually room for the other anarthas to come in the forefront, and then it will drag that person into a very low platform. So therefore, we find that an advanced person, he trusts Krishna, but he never trusts his mind. And that is what Rupa Goswami describes as one of the symptoms of Bhava Bhakti, is that Asha Bandha. Asha Bandha means what? Hope against hope. A devotee feels hopelessness and also hope. When a devotee considers his own fallen position, when a devotee thinks about the nature of his mind, nature of his past background, his mind, he feels hopeless. But when he sees the character of Krishna, how he is merciful even to the most insignificant person, most fallen person, he gets hope. So he has hope in Krishna's character as Karuna Sindhu or Dinabandhu. But seeing his past background, seeing his material mind, seeing his past materialistic habits, he feels hopeless, and therefore he trusts Krishna, but when he sees himself, that he never trusts his mind. We can see that that quality also in relation to this. So this is what we find in relation to Rishabhadev. And another example we find in the case of Arjuna. So mystic siddhi, it's not maybe in particularly related to mystic siddhi, but we can see still in that light. Because mystic siddhi is equip a person with different powers. One can get anything, one can perform different magical spells, etc. So Arjuna was also endowed with different powers, different astras and weapons by Krishna. So sometimes, as I mentioned, that we need to use different siddhis or technology for the service of Krishna. But we should not use them becoming fascinated by those siddhis, rather we should be more fascinated by Krishna. So when we are using them, are we attached more to Krishna, or are we attached more to those mystic siddhis, or those different facilities or technologies? That will be determined when those powers will be taken away. Whether we are attached to those different facilities, or the mystic siddhis, or the technology, or are we attached to Krishna, that will be tested when those mystic siddhis are taken away from us. And that's what we find the character of Arjuna. Vanchitoham Maharaja Harina Bandurupina Yena Me Apakritam Tejo Deva Vismapanam Mahat. So Arjuna says that previously I had the power by which I could astonish even the devatas of the heavenly planets. But now, because Krishna has disappeared, all these powers have become null and void. Tadvai danusta ishavaha sarato hayaste సోహం రతి నృపతయో యత ఆమనంతి సర్వం సర్వం క్షణేన యదభూత్ అసదీశ రిక్తం భస్మన్ హుతం కుహకరాదం ఇవోప్తమూష్యం. He says that now I have the same Gandiva bow, I have the same arrows, I have the same chariot. But now, in the absence of Krishna, all these things have become null and void. They have become useless, like when you pour actually ghee on ashes, you don't get anything. Or when you earn some money using some magical trick, you can't use that money. So all these things have become actually useless. So Prabhupada says that the different powers were bestowed upon Arjuna for executing the mission of Krishna. But once the mission is over, those powers were taken away from Arjuna. They were withdrawn from Arjuna. So if powers can be withdrawn even from a devotee like Arjuna, what to speak of you and me? They will definitely be withdrawn at a particular point of time. So therefore, whatever power and skills we have, we should simply use it for the service of Krishna. But when coming back to the point that in the case of Arjuna, when all these powers were taken away, he was defeated by some infidel cowherd man. He did not lament that because he was defeated by some infidel cowherd man. Like for a person of the caliber of Arjuna, who impressed even Lord Shiva in his fight, who actually helped even Indra by killing the Nivata Kavacha demons. For that person to be defeated by some ordinary cowherd man, it is such a great insult. It can be a cause of great depression. But Arjuna was not depressed because he lost all these powers, but he was in great sorrow because Krishna has disappeared from this world. He mentions that yasya kshana viyogena lokohya priyadarshinah. The whole world has become null and void because Krishna has disappeared. So therefore, Arjuna was not attached to those powers, he was actually attached to Krishna. So are we attached to the mystic siddhis or to Krishna? That will be determined when their particular technology or the different opportunity or when their particular position or when their particular identity, when that is taken away, at that time actually, that is the testing point. Are we attached to the position or are we attached to Krishna? So, another thing we can see, same in the case of Arjuna and the Kauravas comparing. During the Kandava Prastha episode, that when Arjuna was trying to burn the Kandava forest, that time one of the demons, Mayadanava, he came and took shelter of Arjuna. And then Mayadanava said that, okay, Arjuna gave shelter to him. And then Mayadanava asked that, what can I do for you in return? Arjuna said, no, I don't want anything in return. But Krishna told Mayadanava, you must serve the Pandavas by building a palace for the Pandavas. So the Mayadanava built the palace in the Indraprastha. And that palace was actually filled with the different mystic opulences, mystic siddhis. So Mayadanava is a demon who created the demons have the tendency of controllership. Krishna says in the Gita, Ishwaroham aham bogi siddhoham balavan suki. I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. Even the different technology are created by people who have the consciousness that we are the controller. Therefore, the different technology, it is actually the underlying the vibration, the sound vibration of the consciousness which is there prevalent within the technology is that we are the controller. So Mayadanava is a demon who created the palace which was filled with different mystic opulences. The Pandavas were actually living in those mystic in that palace. But they were just performing service to Krishna. They were performing their responsibilities. But when the Duryodhan saw the opulences in that palace, he got completely bewildered. In fact, after the Rajasuya Yajna and after seeing that particular opulence of the particular palace, he became so much of envious of the Pandavas, then he decided to actually invite the Pandavas for the gambling match. So, what we see here is that the comparison between the Pandavas and the Kauravas, Duryodhan saw those mystic opulences, but he got completely bewildered, he became more envious. But the Pandavas were living in that palace, filled with all the mystic opulences, but they were not, that those mystic opulences did not actually affect their consciousness, they did not drag their consciousness to a lower platform. Because from that we can see, what made the difference is that, because the Pandavas had spiritual pious credits. The Bhagavatam explains that, Vishoka Brahma Sampatya. Brahma Sampati means they had a spiritual pious credits. Because of the spiritual pious credits, they simply utilized those opulences in Krishna's service. They didn't get affected by it. On the other hand, because the Duryodhan was bereft of any of this Brahma Sampati, so therefore he got completely bewildered. He became more envious. Therefore, when we use the different technology, which is also a creation of the modern demons, if our sadhana is not strong, if our spiritual sadhana is not strong, then instead of using that, we will become used by the technology. Huh. So, this is another thing we can learn from Arjuna in regards to mystic siddhis. And, another example which comes about the character of Prithu Maharaj. So, just like Rishabhade, when Prithu Maharaj retired from his kingdom, he went to perform austerities. When he went to perform austerities, all the mystic siddhis approached him. All the mystic siddhis approached him. And out of the mystic siddhis, Prithu Maharaj accepted one mystic siddhi called as Swachanda Mrityu, which is described in the yesterday's verse. That means dying at one's own will, according to one's desire. So why Prithu Maharaj accepted this mystic siddhi? Prithu Maharaj accepted this because he was eager to go back to the spiritual world. He could not tolerate separation from Krishna. He wanted to die sooner so that he can go to the spiritual world and engage in the service of Krishna. So, Rishabhadev, one incarnation of the Lord, Rishabhadev is teaching how one should be cautious of Maya, how one should not trust one's mind by rejecting the mystic siddhis. Another incarnation of the Lord, Prithu Maharaj, by accepting one of the mystic siddhi, he is teaching the principle of being eager to serve Krishna. And Prithu Maharaj did not accept all the mystic siddhis, he accepted only one mystic siddhi. Of Swachanda Mrityu, because he was eager to go back to God. So, another thing we can see in the case of, say, from the example of Prithu Maharaj itself, in regards to using a mystic siddhi, or using in one sense any facility or any post or any technology or anything material, Rupa Goswami has given the principle of Yukta Vairagya. Anasaktasya Vishayan Yatarham upayunjataha nirbandha Krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya muchyate. But when we apply the principle of yukta vairagya to utilize something material in the Krishna service, we have to have a certain level of vairagya and we have to have a certain level of connection with Krishna. We have to have a certain level of yukta with Krishna. Yukta means being connected with Krishna, and we have to have a certain level of vairagya. Otherwise, while applying that principle, we can get diverted by what we try to utilize in the service of Krishna. In the same example of Prithu Maharaj, how he exhibited both Yukta and Vairagya. In fact, Prithu Maharaj, when he was a king, when he decided to retire, all the citizens were actually lamenting and they did not want Prithu Maharaj to retire. But Prithu Maharaj, because he wanted to actually give an certain example. He wanted to make the Vanaprastha ashram famous. So therefore, he wanted to tell the people at a certain point, one must retire. Therefore, although all the citizens were lamenting, he actually retired. He exhibited that vairagya from the position of being a controller, from the position of being a king. And he also exhibited his eagerness and vairagya when he went to the forest, how he performed intense austerities. Usually, what is our real desire that is tested when we are alone? Prithvimaraj, previously he was a king. When he was a king, he was in the forefront and leading the people, giving different orders. But in the forest, he was all alone. But when he was in the forest, he was all alone. He was actually performing intense austerities and he was performing intense bhakti. So that showed that how he is actually intensely eager to attain the shelter of Krishna. That showed that how he was intensely connected with Krishna. So therefore, because he exhibited both these qualities, how one should have a certain level of intense connection with Krishna and one should have a certain level of vairagya, therefore he had the adhikar to use the mystic siddhi. Otherwise, without that certain level of vairagya and connection with Krishna, when we try to utilize the mystic siddhi or when we try to utilize anything material, we can get diverted by that. And so another thing, if we compare the devotional service of the different mystic siddhis, and Rupa Goswami talks about the five most important items of bhakti, he says that these five important items are so powerful, even if a person comes in contact with these five important items even slightly, even if he does not have any faith in those items, but still these processes, that is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy names, visiting Mathura Vrindavan, serving the devotee, these processes are so powerful that they can awaken even the bhava bhakti in a person. So these processes are so powerful, even if a person does not invest his consciousness, they can actually elevate a person. But on the other hand, when we talk about this mystic siddhis or materialistic perfection, those materialistic perfections are created with the consciousness of that I am the controller. Therefore, when we utilize those materialistic perfection, different technology, etc., if we don't utilize with the proper consciousness that I am the servant of Krishna, then the consciousness which is invested in those objects or technology, that will actually affect our consciousness. We will get affected by that. Another example in regards to mystic siddhi, you can see the example of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, when he was fighting with the Yakshas, Yakshas employed a different mystic at a certain point, they employed a different mystic siddhis. They created a different illusion. So at that time, Dhruva Maharaj, when he saw those mystic illusion, he got confused, what to do. Some stool was falling from the sky and then some stones were coming from nowhere. And he couldn't see anybody and then different things were coming. He got bewildered. So at that time, when he was bewildered by seeing the mystic opulences, how he came out of that bewilderment is that he actually consulted the sadhus. And the different sadhus, different rishis, they told Dhruva Maharaj, "Oh dear son of Dhruva, may the Supreme Lord known as Sharanga Dhanva, who relieves the distresses of his devotees, kill all your threatening enemies. The holy name of the Lord is so powerful, it is as powerful as the Lord himself. Simply by chanting and hearing, many men can be fully protected from the fierce death without difficulty." So when Dhruva Maharaj took shelter of the devotees, and when the Dhruva Maharaj took shelter of the holy name, then he could all these mystic illusions disappeared. So therefore, the different mystic siddhis, different materialistic perfection, technology, this thing, they have the power to bewilder the mind of a person. They have the power to take a person in a different direction. But what is the hope for a devotee is that holy name and the association of the devotees. When we keep this connection, then one will not get bewildered by that. And lastly, I want to discuss that this mystic, like Prabhupada translates the mystic siddhi as mystic perfection. Mystic perfection. So the desire for mystic siddhi or mystic perfection, it can also be seen as the desire for a perfect situation. Once Gaurangpur was sharing this point, the desire for mystic siddhis means, it can also mean desire for perfection, desire for a perfect situation or a perfect partner or perfect superior, perfect subordinate. Because when perfect situation means what? That means exactly according to your expectation, exactly according to, which will be according to your control, which will not be beyond, according to your prediction, you have the control over it. The desire for perfection, this can be manifest in the form of desire for a perfect superior, desire for a perfect counselor, or the desire, but like that it can never arise because every person will have different shortcomings. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the example of Vidura and Maitreya. Vidura wanted to hear from Uddhava about what Krishna spoke to him. But Uddhava said that, actually you are in the position of my father, I cannot actually speak to you, I don't, you please hear from Maitreya Rishi. But Maitreya Rishi, he was previously a Jnana Mishram Bhakta. When when Krishna was speaking to Maitreya and Uddhava, Krishna showed a special attention to Uddhava. Although Maitreya was very eagerly wanting to hear from Krishna, but Krishna did not notice Maitreya. Because Krishna wanted to, Maitreya Rishi was a Jnana Mishra Bhakta, but Uddhava was a pure devotee. So Vidura knew that Maitreya was a previously Jnana Mishra Bhakta, whereas Uddhava is the constant associate of Krishna. But still, Vidura heard from Maitreya Rishi. If Vidura had been an idealist or a perfect, if he had been looking for only for a perfect speaker, then he said, oh, you are telling Maitreya? Oh, how can I hear from Maitreya? I know what are his shortcomings. So he could have actually, you would not have heard from Maitreya, but Vidura was not actually, he was not seeking perfection in a superior, and he submissively heard from Maitreya Rishi, and we find that Vidura Maitreya conversation in the third and fourth canto. And sometimes we may expect a perfection, we may expect a perfect superior, or we may expect a perfect subordinate, a perfect counselee, or perfect disciple, or perfect follower. So that is also, we find, like, for example, the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, apiche sudura charo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadureva samantavya samyak vyavasitohi sah. What does this verse say in one sense? It says that Krishna does not love only ideal people, but he loves real people. Because real people are people who commit some mistakes. Real devotees, they have the human frailties, they commit some mistakes. But Krishna says, but if a devotee is actually performing bhakti sincerely, even if he commits a mistake, he should be considered as a sadhu. So Krishna is not an idealist. He not only loves ideal people, he loves real people with shortcomings. And we find the same example. For example, Srila Prabhupada writes in the third canto, when Brahmaji was speaking to Kardama Muni, Brahmaji was telling to Kardama Muni, sons and disciples should be like you. They should say, yes, sir, and they should execute the order of the superiors. In that purport, Prabhupada, because Kardama Muni executed the order of Brahma to procreate children, and he executed perfectly, and then the Brahma was very happy with Kardama Muni. So Prabhupada says that if a disciple says to the spiritual master, I cannot execute this order, that means he becomes immediately fallen. So, he's telling about how a disciple should be like. But when we see Prabhupada in his dealings with his disciple, although he's writing the ideal behavior, ideal standard of a disciple, but in his dealing with his disciples, he did not expect that idealism. He actually accommodated different all his disciples. He's giving that ideal standard for a disciple, but he did not expect idealism. In one of the letter, Brahmanand Prabhu writes to Srila Prabhupada that I am your disobedient disciple. I am your independent disciple. I did not follow your order properly. So Prabhupada says that actually you have written that you are my disobedient son, but actually I think that I am your disturbing father. In fact, I am putting more and more burden upon you that you have no hesitation to accept my demands, even though sometimes they are unreasonable. So practically, you are acting as my father. In my childhood, I would make many unreasonable demands from my father. I would ask for one gun for each hand, but my father would actually fulfill that. But although my father has actually left his body 40 years back, but by Krishna's mercy, I have got many young American fathers in this old age. Therefore, although I have become old, but still my same nature continues. In my childhood, I would make unreasonable demands, but even though now I am 75 years old, my nature has not changed. So therefore, I am making many unreasonable demands from my young American fathers, which may be burdensome for them. But I am sure Krishna will be very pleased if you kindly tolerate some unreasonable demands from me. So in that sense, Prabhupada did not expect idealism from his disciple. And lastly, that sometimes we may have expectation of idealism from equals. And that we see in the example of Indra and Prithu Maharaj, that although Indra was disguising himself as a sannyasi and stealing the horses one by one repeatedly, but when Lord Brahma guided Prithu Maharaj not only stopped performing the 100th Ashwamedha Yajna, but more than that, Prithu Maharaj, he actually accepted Indra as his friend. He developed a friendship with Indra, he forgave Indra, and Bhagavatam says that he developed friendship with Indra. So that means he exhibited the quality of cooperation. So therefore, cooperation can be possible only when you don't expect idealism. When people expect some idealism or perfect this one, they will find difficult to have work with somebody, they will find difficulty having some subordinate, they will have difficulty working under the same master, because over a period of time, we definitely see the shortcomings in others. So therefore, we find that these examples, that the desire for, one should not expect idealism in the superior or a subordinate or in the equal. So to summarize what we discussed today was that we discussed that how Krishna is the source of all the mystic siddhis. All the mystic siddhis are waiting to serve Krishna. And different devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how they did not desire the mystic siddhis. And then we discussed that how the mystic siddhis are represented in the modern times in the form of the materialistic perfection, technology, the desire for controllership. And we discussed various examples of Rishabhadev, Krishna, Prithu Maharaj, and Arjuna. And then finally we discussed about the point of that how one should not desire even idealism in relationships. Otherwise, we can't continue the relationships. I think it's time. I think I'll stop here. Grantana Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, Radhikala Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So, on behalf of His Grace Baldev Prabhu, I have been asked to make some book distribution announcement of this marathon 2018. So, as Radhikala Prabhu was